expect miracles, even just receive miracles with that grace that sometimes happens, and just have your best week ever, and connect with us at RaisingConsciousKids.com. Thanks, Dr. Vivian.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Clinton was in California as well, saying Donald Trump has no coherent foreign policy.
They're not even really ideas, just a series of bizarre rants.
Clinton saying Trump is temperamentally unfit for the Oval Office. Donald Trump fires back at a campaign rally. He says that Clinton's foreign policy is sad to watch.
It was a political speech. Had nothing to do with foreign policy.
Now as Texas continues dealing with heavy flooding, record-setting heat may cook the Southwest this weekend. National Weather Service issuing excessive heat warnings for Southeast California, Southern Nevada, and parts of Arizona from this morning to Sunday night. And the Navy reports that Blue Angels pilot is dead after his jet goes down in Tennessee. It happened yesterday near the town of Smyrna. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Prosecutors could announce a decision on charges in the Cincinnati Zoo gorilla incident today. Police launching the probe after a three-year-old boy falls into the gorilla enclosure on Saturday, prompting zookeepers to kill the animal. Investigators say they were focusing on the actions of the child's parents and not the safety of the zoo. A Japanese boy is found alive after being missing for a week. USA Radio's Tammy Rose has more.
A missing 7-year-old boy was found unharmed after searchers spent nearly a week combing dense forest on the northern Japanese island of Hokkaido. He was discovered in a small building at a military exercise ground about 2.5 miles from the spot where he was left alone at the roadside for a short time by his parents for being naughty. His father apologized to the community for his excessive behavior and told his son he was sorry.
Boxing legend Muhammad Ali is in the hospital being treated for a respiratory issue. A representative for Ali says he's in fair condition at a hospital in Phoenix. This is USA Radio News.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. I mean, you know, I love him.
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The State Department says Iran is the world's top state sponsor of terrorism and ISIS is the greatest threat globally. The department's annual report on worldwide terrorist activity also says there were close to 12,000 terrorist attacks in more than 90 countries in 2015. The report released yesterday saying Iran continued to be the top provider of financial support, training, and equipment to terrorist groups last year. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell stopped by Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries, and USA Radio's Jason Wirt has the details.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had some rather pointed words about the Senate Minority Leader when he appeared on Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries.
At the height of the Iraq war in the middle of the surge, he says the war is lost. Well, what kind of message is that? Yeah. To soldiers who are out there fighting in the field.
McConnell also said President Obama acts like a child behind closed doors, telling everyone basically how much smarter he thinks he is than they are. I'm Jason Wirt.
The flooding in Texas claims the lives of soldiers. USA Radio's Anthony Lucero has been following that story.
The number of soldiers killed when a transport vehicle flipped over in Texas floodwaters now stands at 5. Rescue teams are continuing to search for 4 soldiers still missing at Fort Hood. The soldiers' tactical vehicle overturned at a low water crossing at a creek on the Central Texas Army base. 3 other soldiers are in stable condition at a hospital.
NASA says it appears an asteroid buzzed Arizona, a bright fireball lighting up the sky for a few seconds yesterday morning. This is USA Radio News.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, licensed professional counselor and your host for today's program. Now, generally speaking, I do a little advertising prior to the show just to let people know that I am going to be on and what my topic is. And today I was not able to do that, primarily because I had to take my kitty cats to the vet. They're fine. I have 2 kitty cats. One is Lady Cat. Lady Catherine DeBerg is her full name, and she's fine. And Mrs. Fuzzywig. Now, Mrs. Fuzzywig has a cough, and so I was concerned about that cough and wanted to get that taken care of. And this morning was the only time, so it prevented me from doing the usual advertising of my show this morning. But I am here, and my topic today is adult children of alcoholics or dysfunctional families. And adult children of alcoholics was a big thing in the 80s and 90s, and it was really something new on the scene, and a lot of people were going to, we would call ACA or ACOA meetings, and getting a lot of good things out of it, but it sort of petered out, I'm going to say, a little bit. There's not quite so many meetings as there used to be. However, that doesn't mean that the issue's gone away, which is part of why I wanted to talk about it. The Adult Children of Alcoholics program is part of the 12-step family, meaning AA or Alcoholics Anonymous, or Narcotics Anonymous. Overeaters Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Al-Anon. Now, Al-Anon, for those of you who don't know, is a 12-step group that is for families and friends of people who have families and friends that are alcoholics or drug addicts or really struggling with any other kind of addiction. But the thing about adult children of alcoholics, it's a spin-off of Al-Anon. It is for adults who grew up in alcoholic or dysfunctional homes who have similar traits, believe it or not. So there's something they call the laundry list. The laundry list... gives you an idea of some of the side effects, I'm going to say, of what happens when we grow up in these types of families. So oftentimes what we do is we guess at what normal is, or we want to be normal, or we have this ideal in our head of normal. I just want to be normal. And so often I hear my clients say that, I just want to be normal. And normal for me and normal for you can be two different things, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. People who grow up in alcoholic families or dysfunctional families tend to isolate. They're often afraid of people and authority figures. So that translates to every time my boss calls me into her office, I have a little panic attack. So people's figures of authority, afraid of them, become approval seekers, and we lose our identity in the process. So that means some codependency issues, or I'm going to like what you like. I don't even know what I like, so... I'm going to, you know, sure, I'll, whatever you want, we'll do it. Whatever you want for dinner, that's fine. Whatever your favorite color is mine. Sure, it doesn't matter what I want, what I need. It's what you want and what you need. That's what is most important. Someone who grows up in an alcoholic home or a dysfunctional home are often frightened by angry people and personal criticism. And that's because, generally speaking, there was so much of it. And I just want to digress just a few moments. Dysfunctional family. All families have some dysfunction to it. And all families can function even on high levels of dysfunction. And dysfunction does not necessarily have to be related to where one of my parents or both my parents are alcoholics or drug addicts or gamblers or workaholics, shopaholics, sex addicts, hoarders, anxiety issues, panic attacks, deep states of depression, chronic physical illness, cancer, divorce, imprisonment, blended family issues, okay, abuse, child abuse. That's why we say dysfunction. So anything that is non-nurturing or safety-threatening. Anything where the focus is on the other issue rather than child care. someone who grows up in a family with an obsessive compulsive parent. And they get in the way of the compulsion. Okay? So, I need everything all neat and organized and... everything, you know, everything in my closet needs to be color coordinated. I'm a child and it's not that way. You know, I cause a great deal of distress for my parent who may then yell at me. Okay, so that kind of brings me back around to we're frightened by angry people and personal criticism. So that means, again, it doesn't have to be someone who's an alcoholic. There's many ways that a family can be dysfunctional. But as an adult, we can become frightened of angry people and any personal criticism. We can become alcoholics, may marry an alcoholic or someone who has some type of a compulsive personality, such as a workaholic. And it fulfills what is called a sick abandonment need. Now, really? I have a need to be abandoned? If I grew up in these families, what I do is I repeat. Okay, it's actually a compulsion to repeat. So I'm going to find someone that's not available. They're not available for many reasons. Could be they're a workaholic or they're an alcoholic or they have affairs or whatever the issue might be. But what that does is it sets me up to continue to feel abandoned and to continue to work at trying to garner the attention of the other person. People who grow up in alcoholic families or dysfunctional families tend to live their life from the viewpoint of being a victim and are often attracted by a weakness in love and friendship relationships. So I may look for someone who is also a victim, someone who blames me for things, someone who might be abusive. When you grow up in a dysfunctional family, there's this tendency to have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility because it's easier to be concerned for others than for self, because oftentimes there's very little self-esteem and very little self-worth that was never taught. We were always caretaking, tiptoeing around, walking on eggshells, being quiet for, trying to please, practicing magical thinking and struggling with false guilt as children. So that develops that overdeveloped sense of responsibility towards others. The other thing to it stops us from looking too closely at our own issues or our own faults or our own shortcomings. And it also sets up the need to be in control. So if I'm focusing on everyone else and everything else and trying to control everything, then chances are I may have grown up in a dysfunctional or alcoholic family. Another trait is feeling guilty, especially if we stand up for ourselves rather than giving in to other people's needs. So, it's very hard to say no. It's very, very hard for someone who is an adult child of an alcoholic or dysfunction. There's always that sense of guilt that can be so overwhelming that we respond to that rather than what our own needs are. If we grow up in an alcoholic family or a dysfunctional family, oftentimes we are also addicted to excitement. So it's looking for chaos, creating chaos, getting into chaotic relationships, feeling really good on those high adrenaline runs because work is so chaotic, creating the chaos at our own jobs or in our own families as adults. And there's a strong tendency to confuse love and pity and tend to love people we can pity or rescue. So we really don't identify love very well. And quite often talking to clients that grew up in these dysfunctional families, I may ask them, so what is love? And their response generally is, I have no clue. I really don't know what love is. I don't know what self-love is, and I don't know. So, thinking that I can rescue or enable, because growing up as a adult child of an alcoholic, become a really good codependent. So, you know, that tendency then to rescue or caretake or enable is really high. And people who grew up in dysfunctional families stuff feelings because their childhoods were traumatic. It was not safe to feel those feelings, and stuffing them so deeply oftentimes end up losing the ability to feel and or express the feelings. And you're in a lot of denial. It's very common for someone who is in therapy because they've grew up in this type of a family to say, you know, such and such happened on Monday, and it wasn't until Friday or Saturday that I began to have some feelings about what happened to me. It's not common at all. The good news is that over time, healing does happen, and you begin to identify your feelings pretty much during the time of whatever the situation is, that's going on. So, in other words, I'll just use a little example. You know, you go to the restaurant, the food was not really that great, you leave, you know, and then the next 2 or 3 days later, you're talking to someone about, yeah, you know, we went to so-and-so's restaurant, and you know what, the waiter actually, you know, the waiter was not that good, and now that I think about it, I'm really kind of angry. I don't think I want to go back there. I'm really kind of angry about the way the waiter treated us. Versus being at the restaurant in real time saying, you know what, I'm not crazy about this waiter. And either I'm not going to leave them a big tip or I'm going to tip or I'm going to complain to the manager or I'm going to do it now in the now. People who grow up in alcoholic and dysfunctional families judge themselves harshly and without mercy. Very hard. Very, very hard. Very low self-esteem, if any. Often their self-talk is very negative. Very negative. And when asked, you know, what's something that you like about yourself? There's this look of, what are you talking about? I don't even know who I am. So how do I even like what I don't know? It's a sad state. And often people who grew up in alcoholic families or drug addicted families or some other type of dysfunction have dependent personalities. Now, that doesn't mean that that is necessarily dependent on drugs or alcohol, but dependent on other people because they are terrified of abandonment. Abandonment is a huge core issue. And I know I've shared this before, so some of you may have heard this. If I were to draw a picture of a family that struggles with addiction or dysfunction, I'm going to draw a picture of a bottle. That's the alcohol. I'm just going to use that as the example. So the first thing on the page is the alcohol. Then standing next to it is the alcoholic, whose face is focused on the alcohol. Then behind the alcoholic is the chief enabler. Okay, so this is the other adult generally in the picture who's focused on the alcoholic. So you have the chief enabler focused on the alcoholic who's focused on the alcohol. Then you have the children. Nobody's focused on the children. There's no parenting. Oftentimes, adult children of alcoholics feel they've parented themselves or they've taken on roles And there are four major roles. The first one is generally, I mean, they can, depending on how many kids are in your family, so the roles can get blended and blurred, and they don't necessarily have to go in this order. However, generally speaking, the eldest child would be considered the family hero. It means they do well at school, they are on the team, they are popular, they are a success at work, they go to college, they're the family hero. They make the family look good. You see, our family is doing something right. Junior, he's our shining star. But then the next child tends to be the scapegoat. And our family would be doing really great if it wasn't for the second kid. The second kid is failing out of school, is truant, is causing problems, is using drugs, is getting pregnant out of wedlock, is being fired out of school, getting asked to leave college, if they even go. All our focus and attention is on this troubled kid, and if this kid would only get their act together, our family would be okay. So scapegoat. Then after that, if you happen to have more than, and like I said, they blur. They tend to blur. But in a four child family, okay, the next one is called the lost child. Well, this child really doesn't want all the accolades that the first and responsibility the first one gets. It's just too much responsibility. They also don't want to be in trouble all the time, like the second one. So they're the lost child. Very quiet. They don't make any noise. And sometimes can be pretty artistic. Like to stay to themselves. Draw, read. Just in their room. Very quiet. Low self-esteem. Everybody ends up with low self-esteem. Because you're playing a role. You're not being yourself. May do well in school, but just very quiet. Doesn't cause any problems, any waves, but has a strong tendency as they get older and grow up to, again, marry alcoholics and become an alcoholic. Low self-esteem is always a huge issue. And then the last child, if you have four kids and you're following the pattern of an alcoholic dysfunctional family, is called the mascot. And the mascot, this child, relieves the stress. So he's cracking jokes, is the class clown, has a hard time taking things seriously. This is the kid that may not ever get married and spend their life snowboarding and living that kind of a bohemian type of lifestyle. The thing is that for all of these issues, to kind of get back to it, the list, the laundry list, as we say, they're all dependent on other people in some ways and are terrified of abandonment. Because, again, the alcoholics focused on the alcohol, the chief enabler is focused on the alcoholic. Nobody's there to take care of the children. Consequence is abandonment. So adult children of alcoholics and people who grew up in dysfunctional families, they will do anything to hold on to a relationship. Even if it's painful, even if it's abusive, even if it's sick in some way, the fear of abandonment is so terrifying that they will stay in that kind of relationship. Because in the brain, abandonment, especially to a child, equates death. So I would rather stay in a bad relationship than experience abandonment and die. Even though as adults that's not going to happen, we're talking about what has affected us as children that lingers as a consequence of growing up in an addicted family. So another trait is that because this alcoholism is a family disease, we become para-alcoholics and take on characteristics of the disease, even though we may not have picked up drinking. So short-tempered, depression, argumentative, moody, feeling empty. We're just not thrivers. We're survivors, which is part of the thing that is about a para-alcoholic becoming reactors, other than actors in your own life. So there are huge consequences. So I'm going to take a short commercial break, and I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat, and I will be back in a few minutes with more information about growing up in dysfunctional families.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program, and I'm talking about adult children of alcoholics and or dysfunction. And I just kind of went through a laundry list of characteristics. And if you listen to it, guessing what's normal, isolating, being afraid of other people and authority figures, seeking approval, frightened by angry people, might become alcoholic or have a compulsive personality disorder, view life from the point of a victim, attracted to people that can be abusive, overdeveloped sense of responsibility because it's easier to take care of others, feeling guilty if we stand up for ourselves, being addicted to excitement, confusing love and pity, intend to love people that we pity and rescue, stuffing feelings, being in denial of feelings, judging ourselves harshly, very low self-esteem, dependent personalities. In other words, our fear of abandonment is so strong that we will stay with someone even though it might be abusive, and take on characteristics of the dysfunction of the family that you grew up in. There are many ways of getting out of this vicious cycle, and noticing a pattern is usually a good thing. If you marry an alcoholic or in relationship with someone who is addictive in some way, then chances are you grew up in some kind of family dysfunction yourself. Especially if you're noticing, a pattern. It's like saying, oh, God, you know, I dated this guy who was an alcoholic, and then the next guy I dated, he was a gambler. And the guy after that, you know, he was another alcoholic. And then after that, I dated this guy that was, you know, he was an overeater. And then after that, I dated this guy who was, addicted to exercise. He was always at the gym and taking steroids. And look at the pattern. It's important to look at the pattern. We back that up with, you know, I tend to be in relationship with people that can't be there for me. They're just not there for me. And there's always chaos going on in my life. And I don't like myself. And I have nothing positive to say about me. I don't even know who I am, for that matter. So how do we get out of this? Therapy. Of course, I always promote therapy. I always promote counseling. I'm a licensed professional counselor, and I promote good mental health. Absolutely. So if we grow up in dysfunction, chances are we are dysfunctional. As I say oftentimes to my clients, it's the language of our family. I say, what language did you speak? Well, I speak English. Well, how come? That's what I learned. Well, why? That's my parents' spoke English. If my parents speak English and my parents speak dysfunction, I'm going to be dysfunctional. Just like I speak English. I speak dysfunction. I live dysfunction. Always brings to mind a little poem when I was a kid. And this book of poems and jokes. It was this funny, but I still have it somewhere. This little poem, it always reminds me of this. I eat my peas with honey. I've done it all my life. They do taste kind of funny, but it keeps them on my knife. So I admit, this is like weird. They taste weird. I don't like it, but I've always done it. I've always done it. This is what I was taught to do. I've done it my whole life. We eat peas with honey because they stay on it. How else do you eat your peas? Don't you eat them on a knife? This is such a typical little poem that would explain growing up in an addictive family and having those addictive or dysfunctional characteristics stick with you. That's that para alcoholic characteristic. Even though I'm not drinking, I still act like I'm in a dysfunctional family. Counseling, mental health counseling, huge help. Go to Al-Anon. Adult Children of Alcoholics meetings. These are 12-step meetings. Lots and lots of books. Adult Children of Alcoholics books. Lots of them. And begin to make changes. Well, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to move out of isolation. and recognize that it's not realistic to be afraid of other people, even of authority figures. Why am I afraid of my boss? My boss is calling me in to give me a new project, telling me I'm doing a great job. May sometimes have to say, well, you know, we need a little help in this area or that area, or I'm concerned about your being late, which adult children of alcoholics sometimes are either super punctual or super late. There's that super responsible or super irresponsible. But I noticed, you know what, I'm really always afraid of my boss. That's a sign. I'm going to work at not being afraid. My boss is just a human being like anybody else. No reason to be afraid of them. And also, finding that we're not going to be dependent on other people to tell us who we are. So I will say with clients, what is your favorite color, holiday, food, flavor, flower, musician? I go down a huge list. So many times people say, I don't know. I never thought about it. I don't know. Well, I don't know. I don't know. But again, let's start thinking about, what is it that you like? So rather than saying I like whatever you like, I am becoming definite in my likes and dislikes. So going to therapy can really help in that. You come in and you talk about people I'm frightened by, angry people. I'm frightened by people who criticize me. Well, who's criticizing who the worst? Well, my self-talk. So I learn to listen to my own self-talk, and I begin to change it from negative to positive, which helps remove that standpoint of living life from the perspective of a victim. Beginning to know my likes and dislikes. I'm not going to be a victim anymore. Even though we might feel guilty for standing up for ourselves, we learn to live with that feeling, and eventually it does dissipate. Rather than allowing the feeling to control us, we control the feeling by naming it and saying, I know I feel guilty. And I'm going to use an example. My husband and I went to the movies a little while back, and it was a movie that I knew my mother would have just loved. But my husband and I hadn't been on a real date for a little while, and even though I knew my mother would have loved the movie, and we were at a nice restaurant having dinner, and I said, oh, I kind of feel guilty that we didn't bring her. I mean, he looked at me like I just grew another head, and I said, however, okay, just because I feel guilty doesn't mean that I have to take my mother everywhere we go. Of course, he liked that answer, but that's the reality of it. There are times I will take my mother, you know, and say, you know, come to the movies with us, and there's times I don't. And I may feel some twinges of guilt, but that's all right. It's okay. It's just a feeling. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't steal anything. I didn't kill anybody. I made a choice to go out on a date with my husband and not bring my mother. What a concept, huh? So, one of the things that happens is when you begin to recover from growing up and you're learning and you're looking at yourself, you begin to recognize those emotional relationships which are toxic. Wow, that's a toxic relationship. I've just been in a relationship with someone that has left me feeling pretty crummy. The way they talk to me, or the way they treat other people, or I feel ignored, or I feel like arm candy, or being used. No, wait a minute. No. I'm going to not be in a relationship like that. I'm going to avoid that type of relationship. Now, that doesn't mean that I shut down and avoid all relationships. It means that I look at what is healthy, and I look for a healthy person to have a healthy relationship with. Because otherwise, I'm constantly upset and disappointed and hurt and afraid. No. And I learned the difference between loving someone and pitying someone, and I stopped rescuing people that we pity, thinking it's an act of love. I learned about self-love, self-care. Oh, here we go. Boundaries and limits. I learned about boundaries and limits, and I practice them. I stop judging myself and condemning myself. And I begin to develop a good sense of self-worth. It may even be that I come out of the denial from the trauma of my childhood. And I learn to express my feelings and emotions in the current moment. Now, with that being said, this is sometimes where therapy is really useful, because I come out of the denial that my childhood was traumatic and I have to grieve the loss of the denial, and the loss of a healthy childhood. We only have one. And if I am cleaning up after my dad at age 8, and I have to be the adult in my family because mom is taking care of dad, and I got to take care of the kids, I lost my childhood. I have to grieve that. That's important. Again, that's something that happens in the therapy process. It also helps with reaching that point of forgiveness and letting go and moving forward in your life. And begin to start developing a sense of good self-worth rather than condemning and judging and beating ourselves up. Being gentle with ourselves. What a concept. And begin to grow independent rather than dependent on other people, because you're terrified of abandonment. I remember in my own process, doing things, giving myself assignments. I tell this story sometimes to my clients. I may have shared it here before. I don't remember. But I gave myself an assignment to go to New York City. Now, I was taught growing up that New York City was a very, very bad place to be. Very bad. And the last thing I would want to do was go there by myself, because I was going to get attacked and probably killed, at least raped. And we had, Hunter and Kenny had these bus trips. So I took this bus trip to New York City. We were going to go to Ellis Island and the South Street Seaport and a few other things. So I get on the bus and it's by myself, but I figured I'm with a group. That's okay. I can do that. I'm not completely alone. We first thing was Ellis Island. Get on, which was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. And time to get back on the ferry to come back to the mainland. And their ferry allows for 1,000 people. I was 1,001. I said, "You don't understand my bus. That's my bus group. You don't understand. You can't leave me here. Sorry, lady. No. Talk about abandonment, okay?" They said, if the vessel goes down, 1,000 is the limit. 1,000 bodies are what we're picking up, not 1,001. So you're not coming. So when the ferry finally came back and I got back to where the bus was, they were gone. Talk about abandonment, right? But I said, okay, I'm here to work on this. This is something that I'm learning to take care of myself, to learn how to be more dependent on myself, independent. Okay? So I found a map, figured out where the South Street Seaport is, and I said, "I'm going to walk." And I walked, and sure enough, I saw recognized somebody that was sitting and having lunch, and they, oh, yeah, you know, when we counted and we figured, you know, maybe you were going to meet somebody, you know, a single woman, you were actually taking the bus in to meet somebody. Oh, all right. Well, it wasn't the case. But it turned out all right. And I learned, you know what? I can take care of myself. I'm growing independent. I'm not afraid of abandonment. I mean, was I uncomfortable? Yes, but you know what? We don't die from being uncomfortable. At some point, I even took myself to Europe all by myself. I'm pretty good with being on my own and doing things on my own. I've learned that the only person that ever abandons me would be myself. I'm an adult now. I don't need somebody there. Want, that's different. And people that I want in my life, I want healthy people. I don't want people who are going to cause chaos and who are going to be judging and condemning and need me to rescue them and enable them. And that's all that chaos, you see. It's all chaos. It's something that happens because of growing up in dysfunction that we decide, we realize that's not what I want, and we have to stretch and learn how to say, you know what, I can take care of myself. I can choose healthy people. I don't need to take this kind of nonsense from other people. I'm not going to be used and abused anymore, and I'm going to stop using and abusing myself. Well, that means I'm no longer a dependent person. I begin to know who I am, what I like and what I don't like. I remove the characteristics of growing up in an alcoholic family. In other words, that para-alcoholism disappears. And I become an actor in my life, not a reactor to my life. I begin to thrive, not survive. I can face my fears, resolve my issues, come from a position of power rather than intimidation. And also not intimidate others. You know, the thing about adult children of alcoholics, they love to control because otherwise things feel so out of control. Begin to do things like create a place where I feel safe in my own home and it's filled with things that I love and it's a loving place for me and do nurturing things for myself. It's great. Have healthy friends, develop a great sense of self-worth and self-esteem. Don't feel intimidated by other people. Let go of anger and resentment. Feel whole and complete. Not feel enmeshed with someone else. In other words, setting up those boundaries in a healthy relationship. And draw those circles. Now, I've probably talked about this. In a meshed relationship where it's one circle directly over the other one, you can't tell where one person begins and the other one ends. They're just combined, this one circle. Which is why in that ceremony when people get married, it makes my head explode. I have my candle, you have your candle. We light the candle in the middle to represent our marriage. And then you blow out your candle, I blow out my candle. I don't go away. I'm not going to blow out my candle. Now there's three candles. There's you, and there's me, and there's us. Because when we're in that relationship where we are so enmeshed, ultimately, we can't stay there. It's too suffocating or it becomes abusive. Then we disconnect. Well, we don't want that either. We want to be in a connected relationship. So there's you and there's me and there's us. Now, when I draw this for my clients, there's those connecting circles. They kind of two distinct separate circles, but they overlap in the middle a little bit. And I put the Y for the you, and the M for the me, and in the middle I put the U for the us, spelled yum, my little thing. So, there is help. We accept that our childhood was traumatic, that mom was bipolar, that dad was an alcoholic, that there was physical abuse, even sexual abuse. We move on. We learn to forgive. We regain our memory. We're no longer trapped in the drama of our life, rescuing people and feeling guilty and walking around with the shame. And we let that go. It's not necessary. And 12-step programs are very useful because they really help put things in perspective, where I have control, where I don't have control, where I've got power in my life, where I don't have power in my life, what my shortcomings are, how I've hurt other people, how I need to let that go and forgive, how I gain a sense of spirituality in my life. And to be clear, spirituality is not about a religion, though religions offer rituals to gain spirituality. Spirituality is about connection, the way I connect with myself. I know who I am. I feel connected to me. Feeling connected to another person. Not holding hands. We are talking. You're sitting on that side of the room. I'm sitting on this side of the room. We are in agreement sometimes. We are not always in agreement. But generally speaking, we're listening and attentive and connecting. It's a spiritual connection. And then that connection with the universe, a sense of awe. Oh my gosh, the moon last night was gorgeous. Just being able to see that moon. Seeing stars, seeing the ocean, some beautiful things in nature. Having a sense that you're not alone. I can connect with the universe. I feel a connection to God. And so we move and grow and heal from our traumatic childhoods. The only way to do it that I know is through therapy, through 12-step programs, getting books out and reading about it, learning how other people have gone through this process, acknowledging the family dysfunction. And sometimes we have to get out of the family. I use this description. My dysfunctional family is like a bunch of people in the swimming pool. Everybody's all wet. I'm in the pool. We're all wet. I may need to get out of the pool. I don't have to leave the pool, though sometimes that is necessary. Sometimes people do have to absolutely leave the family completely. But I could stay around the outside of the pool. I could sit in a lounge chair. I could still talk to people in the pool. I'm just not wet anymore. And I have freedom to come and go. I'm not just stuck in the pool. So that's my little analogy there. So I hope this was useful. Again, I kind of apologize for not advertising, but I will see if I can get some of that information out post-show. So if you want to go back and go to the archives at the 100chamberradio.com, you could go on the archives button and you can see. There's many, many shows that I've done that are archived there. You can also go on to Counselor's Chat and see what shows that I have done. So you might then coordinate. Oh, look, she did this show on July whatever, and it was coordinated with the archive, and so I'll listen to that particular topic. So you can do that also. I am Ruth Altum, your role, a licensed professional counselor. I have my master's in counseling. I'm not a social worker. I am a counselor. I'm not a psychologist. I am not a psychiatrist. I am a licensed professional counselor. I am not a coach. I am a counselor. Licensed. I have my master's in counseling. I am a nationally certified counselor. I have a private practice here in Flemington, right on Main Street. I am always open to new clients. I don't keep a waiting list. If you are interested in finding out more about my practice, please